Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
We thank you very much for joining us, everybody. This is Jim Masters, and we are live worldwide on Close Up Radio Live, which is a service of the Telly Award-winning Close Up Television and Radio. And it's a real pleasure to have you with us today. It's also a pleasure to have our very special guest, Veronica Finnegan of Dynamic Discoveries, joining us here from Rockville Center, Long Island, New York. Veronica is a licensed mental health counselor at Dynamic Discoveries Mental Health Counseling. She's also the author of Giving Birth Doesn't Make You a Mother. In addition, she works as a counselor at UNOCD, where she guides individuals, of course, in their journey to overcoming the challenges surrounded by obsessive compulsive disorder, which is OCD. And I like that, OCD. That's such a terrific name. Established in 2010, Dynamic Discoveries Mental Health Counseling. Well, Veronica works with all ages, from adults to adolescents to children, and she works with couples and families and groups, and her specialties include anxiety, trauma, and relationships. Her recently written book, Giving Birth Doesn't Make You a Mother, chronicles Veronica's journey and the son that she adopted at 4.5 years of age. He's now 11. It was released in April of 2023, so it's still hot off the presses. The story is about what she has done to help him heal from his trauma. As a therapist and employee at NOCD, which is an all-OCD and expanding treatment organization, recently endorsed by ex-germaphobe, now OCD educator and treatment advocate Howie Mandel, Veronica exclusively uses an evidence-based gold standard treatment modality known as exposure and response prevention for members. In addition to her regular mental health work, Veronica is on the panel for the 9/11 Victim Compensation Fund, where she works in a mental health capacity with first responders and those near the World Trade Center. It's important to ask for help if you need it, she says. Help is out there, and it's worth it. And that's so true. I always say all the time myself, one of the greatest investments you can ever make in life is in yourself. Dynamic Discoveries is the name of the company, and we're going to talk about her incredible work, and we'll welcome her from New York right now. Veronica, welcome to Close Up Radio. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Oh, thank you, Jim. I'm really so appreciative of you giving me this forum today to talk about all of this important work that I have just poured my heart and soul into for many, many years now. So I just want to thank you for inviting me today to talk with you on Close Up Radio.
Oh, the pleasure is all ours, absolutely. And, you know, I think it's really extraordinary what you're doing and how you're doing it. And, you know, I'd love to know first, what inspired you to go into this work, to really super serve this? What are some of the things in your own life's journey that pointed you in the direction of doing this work?
Oh, gosh. Well, I mean, you know, I'm a big believer in destiny. And as my life unfolds, I'm more and more in touch with the things that have led me down the path and the things that have put me, you know, where I feel is exactly where I'm supposed to be in my life. So ironically, I was actually in St. John's University. And my plan at, you know, 19, 20 years old was to become a criminal lawyer. And that quickly changed paths when I went through a tragedy back when I was 20 years old and lost someone very dear to me in a car accident. Yeah. So I went into my own therapy for my own anxiety and decided at that point that I was going to change career paths, that I had a real appreciation for the process of therapy. But also, I found that I was the person that everybody came to talk. And people were telling me I just had all of these kind of natural ingredients to being a really good listener with a lot of empathy. And, you know, I think my almost second year of college decided to change my major to psychology. And the rest is history. You know, here I am just doing what I feel, you know, I was destined to do.
Isn't it beautiful and a sweet spot when you get a chance to realize that and actually live that out? It's extraordinary, isn't it?
Yeah, it's quite exhilarating, and it's like exhilarating and just this kind of sense of peace at the same time when you kind of know, like I said, that you're just aligned with your purpose, doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing while we're here on this planet. So, yes.
That's right, exactly. Let's talk about your private practice, Dynamic Discoveries Mental Health Counseling, and the types of services that you offer and also the people that you work with.
Sure, I'd love to. It's a, you know, my practice, I'm happy to say, you know, even in choosing the title, you know, Dynamic Discoveries, you know, dynamic and just, you know, innovative and covering so much ground. I always found, you know, I remember being in school and being asked to kind of determine what my theoretical orientation was, and it felt so restrictive to me, so I made a commitment to be able to really, really reach a broad range of people. So I see, you know, adults of all ages and children and teenagers, and I work with couples and families and groups, and I offer just a very wide variety of services, all different kinds of anxiety disorders. I work with people who have, you know, a various menu of different traumas, and I do relationship work and self-esteem, and you know, just really, really just increasing the amount of knowledge and depth always throughout the path of my career so that I can expand and meet the needs of the various people that come and seek my services.
That's
so fantastic. It's quite a range.
It really is, huh? Let's talk also about your Woman's Inner Child Healing Group. I think that's really fantastic that you have that.
Oh, thank you. Yes, that's something, you know, like most things that I've found myself doing, that has evolved over time. And it's something that, you know, I remember starting years ago an anxiety management group. And I decided that, you know, I said, why am I doing anxiety management? I said, management isn't enough. I want to do better with my clients. So I decided to change the title to Anxiety No More, and really get to a deeper place with clients in terms of identifying the roots of what led to their anxiety. And this is where the Inner Child Healing Group was born, because it seemed that all roads led back to childhood. And what I wanted to do is really do some deeper exploration with people to heal from the deeper roots rather than just treating symptoms. So the group Inner Child Healing was born, and we started to really have a comprehensive view of people's lives, their early childhoods. And then it just happened to come to, you know, having a group of women who were the people that seemed to stick with this passion and this mission the most. And then the group still continues today. So it's really been a beautiful experience to go back with people and just you know, watch them heal from these things that led them to down this path of anxiety and different mental health issues.
What's one of the great things about the work that you do is you walk the walk, talk the talk, and you've dealt with a lot of things, even like you said, yourself in your own life, which makes you very relatable to your clients, right?
Yes. Yes, I think that's important. And I always share that when I would do anxiety groups, that I know what it's like. I've been there. I experienced panic. And, you know, I can look back on it now and, you know, remember myself back then in those states and laugh about it, because I know more now. And I can instill a different kind of hope in people because, I know what it's like to be in the depths of that and what it's like to come out on the other side. So that's why anxiety in particular has been an area of focus for me throughout my career.
I love the title of your book, giving birth doesn't make you a mother.
Yes.
What was your inspiration for writing the book? Ooh.
Wow. I mean, I can certainly say, you know, my amazing son, Joseph, and just the miraculous journey of first, you know, finding him. It was, it's really a beautiful spiritual story, what led me to him, because it was never my plan. This was God who.
Veronica, you there? Veronica? She disappeared. She just, I don't know if she maybe muted herself, perhaps, on her phone, maybe? Not sure if you can hear us, Veronica. We don't hear you. I don't know if your phone muted or something happened on your end. Well, let's try to reach out to her again while she was in the middle of chatting. Hopefully she doesn't have voicemail on.
Hello.
You didn't mute yourself, did you?
No, I'm sorry. I don't know. I dropped the call just dropped. I'm very sorry about that. So.
Oh, that's okay. No worries. You can rewind a little bit and just pick up sort of where you were really talking about, you know, giving birth doesn't make you a mother, and how
yes.
you really came up with the title and the inspiration for it.
Yes. So I worked at Queens Hospital for 16 years, and I worked with a psychiatrist, Dr. Eleanor Rubin, who really, pulled me aside when I was actually telling her about another book I was writing that's still in the works, and she said to me, oh, you have to write a book about what you've done with your son from a therapist and a mother's perspective. So, I mean, immediately, you know, even though I had this other book that I was going to include my story in, you know, I realized this had to be a standalone. So even that day driving home, the title just came to me immediately, and I started the book, and it was a relatively quick process because I was just writing about, you know, my story and the miraculous journey that led me to my son. And I have such strong feelings about just throughout my long career working with clients from all over at different, you know, levels of distress and from different demographic areas, the things that people needed as children and didn't get, and then my personal experience in working through my son's trauma and helping him heal, and I said, these messages have to go out into the world because, you know, just like the title said, there's an awful lot of people who are embarking on a journey, whether intentionally or not, who aren't skilled and prepared to take on, you know, the most important job that somebody will have in their lifetime. And, you know, how precious and how, you know, intricate the needs of children are. So I felt like I really needed to share my story with the world.
It really is important, right, for people to understand it and to realize it and to appreciate it. And I think it's such a beautiful thing that you do that and you're so open about it and you're so, mm-hmm. you know, approachable. Well, I think it just enhances the work that you do. Let's talk about your role is at NOCD. I think that's incredible.
Yes, thank you so much. So NOCD, I have to say, is really has been just a blessing. It's almost like it's all the things I've always wanted in a work environment and more. The work in itself. You know, we predominantly focus on who we call members, you know, which is also, I absolutely love that it's such an inclusive treatment environment that they call what we traditionally would call clients members. And what we do with them is we work with them to help them overcome, the very intense and debilitating fears that come with obsessive compulsive disorder. So, you know, it was predominantly when I started in all OCD treatment program, but now we're expanding to start including other types of mental health and anxiety disorders, which is really amazing. This company is just growing exponentially, and I'm so happy to be a part of it. It's just such a beautiful quality of life I have now because I've decided to work remotely with them and be home with my son. It's really been a great change for me from the hospital environment that I worked in for many, many years.
Very special time that you've got, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
yes, very much so.
For the folks that are listening and they've heard of the phrase obsessive compulsive disorder, OCD, mm-hmm. how do you define what it is?
Sure. So, you know, I love that you're asking that question. And, you know, one of the things I love about an OCD is that they are the spreading knowledge, accurate knowledge about a disorder that's been very much misdiagnosed and misunderstood. So the best way I can explain it to the audience is that, you know, OCD is, you know, it's a very highly treatable condition. And believe it or not, affects 1 out of 40 people worldwide. So this is a disorder that many, many people are struggling with. And it's comprised of, first, it's, you know, people experience very unwanted, repetitive and intrusive thoughts or images. And that's what we call the obsessions. So it's these thoughts that come in, they're unwanted. And one thing I always stress when I explain OCD to people is the intrusive thoughts that come with OCD are what we call ego dystonic. So they absolutely directly contradict what a person's values and desires are. So that's why they cause so much distress because, for example, you know, people can come to us with different intrusive thoughts possibly about harming either themselves or others, and they have no desire nor have they ever had a desire to act on any of these things. It's actually the complete opposite of who they are and their character. So when somebody with OCD has these types of very distressing thoughts, you know, they can understandably be very scary. And what happens with people who get these thoughts with OCD is they attach significance and meaning to them. And then they spend an awful lot of time trying to either figure them out, avoid them, push them away, or try to neutralize them somehow. And that portion of the obsessive compulsive disorder are the compulsions. So the compulsions are anything that a person with OCD does to either reduce the distress, to avoid thinking the thoughts, or to find some way to escape them. And what we now know through a lot of research is that that just makes the obsessions come back even stronger. And then they get lost in this very, very vicious, endless loop of, you know, experiencing the thoughts and then trying to mitigate them with the compulsions. And it just goes round and round and round and can be extremely debilitating.
Yeah, it's so important on so many different levels. It's these intrusive thoughts and you have the exposure and response prevention that is so incredibly important, too. And I think that's invaluable, right? It can really make a big difference.
Yeah. So this, you know, I feel like I'm always like noticing just miracles in my life. And, you know, I really feel it's just like miraculous what happens to members when we walk with them through the fear. And that's really what exposure and response prevention therapy is. So rather than avoidance, which is what they've been, you know, lost years, some people years and months of their lives, trying to figure out how to argue or dispute or avoid these terrible thoughts. And here we are saying we're going to sit together and expose you to them with almost, you know, well, actually intentionally eliciting discomfort and anxiety. And what we do with them is we help them create a hierarchy of their fears, and we help them to rate them by, you know, identifying the triggers to their anxiety, and then we walk them through the hierarchy starting from the bottom and very gradually and gently exposing them to these triggers while encouraging them to sit with, you know, the discomfort that they're typically accustomed to running from. And then what happens is their brain learns a new way of responding to fear. So really what we're doing is teaching their brain that they're able to sit with and tolerate discomfort and do absolutely nothing. And then that sends the brain, or actually the part of the brain, you know, where fight or flight resides, we're sending a message that there's no threat and that there's nothing to fear. And then we just start to experience with the members, you know, this light bulb moment that, oh, my God, I can do this. And that what I thought was so scary and terrifying isn't. And then they're just starting to reclaim their lives and conquer OCD, you know, one fear at a time.
That's important. Yeah, one fear at a time. What are some of the common misconceptions, misunderstandings surrounding OCD?
Well, that's a great question, Jim. So there's many, you know, I'll just talk briefly about the major ones. But, you know, mostly people hear about OCD and they think, oh, my God, you know, even, you know, traditionally what we've heard Howie Mandel talk about is, you know, fear of contamination. And then people just associate OCD with, oh, these are people that have to wash their hands 100 times a day. And you know, they can't touch the garbage and they're constantly worried about getting sick. And that is just such just one slice of the pie when it comes to OCD, because OCD involves so much more than just a fear of, you know, being dirty. I mean, these are intrusive thoughts that plague people, and there's so many different themes. And then there's so many different compulsions that people have to engage in to try to feel better. So, you know, I mean, the amount of themes, you know, are just unbelievable that we work with on a daily basis. So I think one misperception of this is not just a disorder that's about germs and cleaning and putting things in order, but it's about so many things that are personal to people and attack their very being and their character. The other misperception that I think is very, very widespread is that, you know, you'll often hear people, especially even, you know, this generation of young people say, oh my God, I'm so OCD, you know, when they feel like they have to, you know, study for their test or
yeah,
you know, just feel organized and things like that. But it's not a personality quirk, OCD. You know, this is a real debilitating disorder. So, it can be very flippantly spoken about. And, you know, so
right,
what I like to let people know is that this is a real disorder. You know, this is not something that people could just turn on and off. It takes a lot of courage for people to come forward and embark on their treatment journey to actually walk through the things that have terrified them for so long.
Exactly right. Exactly right. It isn't meant to be in that vein of just it's fashionable or something like
yeah,
that. You know, like,
yes, exactly.
Like, who's your therapist? My therapist is. You know what I mean? That kind of a thing. It's the way
right,
the
comparing.
About,
you know, one upping
like
each other.
Trendy,
you know, yes,
like it's a trendy
yes,
thing, as opposed to it's a real thing that helps
right,
people.
Yeah.
Often misdiagnosed as well.
Often misdiagnosed, you know, I can even look back, you know, earlier on in my career. I mean, this is something, it's misdiagnosed. A lot of clinicians, psychiatrists, you know, people in the field miss it, and they kind of chalk it up as just, you know, just like generalized anxiety with intrusive thoughts. And I think, you know, what happens is, I mean, I remember earlier in my career prescribing things that I now know are counterintuitive for the treatment of OCD. You know, I remember 26 years ago telling people to wear a rubber band around their wrist, and every time they had a negative or intrusive thought, to snap the rubber band, you know, and then we called that thought stopping. And what we now know is this idea that what we resist persists. So anything that you're trying to fight away in the air of OCD comes back even stronger. So, you know, clinicians often, they're either prescribing things that are counterproductive for the treatment of OCD, and they're often missing the mental torture that people go through and these mental compulsions like rumination and people are seeking reassurance, you know, to know that they're going to be okay, to know that these fears aren't going to come true. And then you have clinicians who are saying, just talk to a family member and have them help you soothe and thought, stop your thoughts and distract yourself, you know, and just replace the thoughts with something positive. And what we now know is that all of those things actually worsen the obsessions. So, you know, we have a ways to go, but, you know, like I said, I love being part of this mission to spread the accurate and correct information so people can really get the help that they need.
And the common stereotypes, too, surrounding OCD, like you've heard from so many people.
Yeah, and different movies. You know, I think about different movies and,
Monk, As Good As It Gets. Of course,
As Good As It
people
Gets.
Have heard, like you said, Harry Mandel's conversations about it.
Yeah. And to have him, you know,
really
partnering.
Right, to believe in it is extraordinary.
Yeah, and that's what I love about, you know, being a part of this is that, you know, I love the leaders that OCD talk about how, you know, the mission is to eradicate OCD. You know, you think about so many areas of medicine, you know, even when I've been in therapy for 20, you know, in psychiatry for 26 years, you know, the joke is, well, we'll never run out of patients, you know, we'll never run out of clients. And then to hear people say, no, we want to end this thing. That's the mission, you know, because we want to end people's suffering.
Right.
That's the goal.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly, yes, and that's the bottom line. Tell us about some of the educational background. I mean, this is something that you've really studied deeply.
So, yes, I'm a two-time St. John's University graduate. I have a bachelor's degree in psychology, and, you know, I gave you a little brief snippet of what led me to that. And then I worked in the field for quite some time. I had amazing experience early in my psychiatry career, and that prompted me to go back for my master's degree. So I went back for my master's degree at St. John's once again and have my master's in counseling. Actually, it's rehabilitation counseling. And I worked in psychiatric rehabilitation for inpatient psych for 26 years. And then I became a licensed mental health counselor.
You know, I've always said it's good to have a master's in your life.
I love that, Jim. No pun intended.
No pun intended. But you have a wonderful role as a mental health therapist for the Victim Compensation Fund. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so that is, you know, I just, when I hear myself, you know, it's just, you know, I've been blessed greatly to be a part of so many amazing, you know, therapy-related help missions. So I have a friend, a dear friend of mine who, his name is Robert Jordan. He reached out to me. It's got to be it's years now. I lose count sometimes because I'm doing a lot of things. But he reached out to me, and my friend Rob is a retired police officer, police detective, and he started working with the 9/11 victim compensation. He is a throat cancer survivor himself, and he has been working to bring forth first responders to really get, you know, especially, you know, you think about these guys, especially who've been in police officers, firemen, you know, in these professions where it's kind of like a no talk, no tell, unwritten rule that they just go through and experience all these traumas and they never say a word about them. So when 9/11 came, they followed that same suit. So he invited me to come on board with this amazing, amazing, you know, service for first responders and really anybody who was down or near ground zero who are now suffering the medical consequences from being exposed to the toxic air down there. And then, you know, working with members who are dealing with all kinds of cancers and then the emotional toll of the post-traumatic stress disorder that accompanies you know, that tragic, life-changing, life-altering day.
It's really something, I tell you. It It really is amazing. And it's an ongoing with 9/11.
It's ongoing.
The world, that and the pandemic changed things on
yes,
such
you're
an
right.
extraordinary ways and levels. Yes. And people are dealing with it, you know, and will be dealing with it for a long time. How do you juggle it all?
Oh, gosh. I mean, just love. Love of what
yep.
I'm doing. Love for my son. Love for just wanting to help people, my family. And, you know, like I said earlier, this is God's path for me. So, I know I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and that's what gives me the endurance. And the strength is just knowing that I'm fulfilling, you know, my highest purposes here. So that's really what gets me going every day.
If people want to make contact, what's the best way they can do that, Veronica?
So I have a website. It's www.dynamicdiscoveries.com. It's actually dynamicdiscoveriesmentalhealthcounseling.com. And all of my information is there online.
Congratulations.
Thank
That's
you
fantastic.
Very much,
yeah.
Jim.
Congratulations.
Thank
on
you.
That. Hopefully we get a chance
it's
to
been
explore.
Wonderful.
Oh, absolutely. Hopefully we get a chance to explore some more and we hear some testimonials, things of that nature. That would be absolutely fantastic. But this was an extraordinary and impactful conversation, Veronica, and really appreciate your stopping by and your authenticity and your relatability and your candor. It was really a pleasure, and I hope you enjoyed the time with me as much as I have with you.
Thanks, Jim. It's been amazing. I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
You are very welcome, Veronica, and keep up the extraordinary work. I know it means a great deal. And the book, again, is Giving Birth Doesn't Make You a Mother. And we really appreciate her time. Hopefully we'll chat some more with Veronica Finnegan of Dynamic Discoveries. She's really amazing. And we're so excited to have her here. And we're so excited to have you here as well. And this is your host, Jim Masters. Thanking you for your time this time till next time. Inviting you to stay right there. We'll be back momentarily with another incredible guest. Celebrated right here on Close Up Radio. Till then, for all of us, have a terrific day. Thanks for listening. And bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television, Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.